He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider for Clutch Points, joined on this fine Thursday afternoon by Harrison Fagan of SB Nation. Harrison, one day I'll remember your titles, but you know what? Do I get credit for saying of SB Nation? Can I have?
I think that's good enough.
All right, there you go. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about Raj made this point last night in passing, and I've been thinking about it ever since. I'm eventually going to write about this today for Clutch Points, and I'll probably narrate it a little bit later tonight for tonight's lowdown. But essentially, how to factor in LeBron James with the Luka timeline and roster management and all of that good stuff. And I think that's a good topic for you and I to kind of jump off on, because it'll send us in all kinds of directions, Harrison. And those are usually my favorite kind of episodes with you, because it struck me today, we've been doing this for like a decade.
Close. It's got to be, if not a decade, then very close to it. When we started, it's like the 2014 draft. So 2015, I think, was when I really... and content. Like I think the Randall year was the first year I wrote anything about the team, but I wasn't really covering the team until 2015. So I think it is like about 10 years now we've been doing this.
Right. There's a channel of mine of our first podcasts that exists out there somewhere.
I hope not.
That we should probably take down. I'll check the dates on that at some point. It struck me today because I listened to these. I was listening to, I forget what show it was, but they were like, wow, we've been doing this for 3 years. And I was like, yeah, that seems like a long time. Whoa, how long have Harrison and I been doing this for? And what that means is that we get to then have chemistry to kind of wander around on a topic. And I think this is one of those topics that we can wander around on.
And do our timelines line up? You know, it's one of the things that we have to discuss, like, at some point. It's like, you're getting older. Yeah. I'm obviously saying extremely young. So it's just, you know, do our time. Is it like a LeBron Luka type thing where eventually the feed has to start to build around me and Raj and we sort of kick you out?
Should I be concerned that Jen is making this same point? That like.
We have a group chat. Me, Dr. Jen, and Raj. It's the Lakers Lounge collaborators. Sabrina's in there.
She's like, everyone I'm still that in my has prime.
To deal with you on a regular basis.
Quick reminder on that great note that to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that share button. If you guys are listening to this on or watching this on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there. And if you're listening to this via podcast, hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your pods, preferably on Odyssey, because I am a company man. All right. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and
point to the logo. You pointed to where it says two timelines.
No, I didn't.
You got to get a little to your right, I think, to get to the Odyssey logo.
Well, because the problem is like there's a difference between maybe the video you're looking at and then the video that's actually playing here.
Oh,
anyway. Okay. The two timelines thing. So essentially, Raj talked briefly about how LeBron at this stage of his career kind of sort of complicates things a little bit, because, you know, we're talking about should the Lakers trade Rui. Now there's a report out there that apparently the Cavs are kicking the tires on Dorian Finney-Smith. Obviously, there's been a ton of conversation about Austin Reeves. And if LeBron retires now, all of a sudden, do you need to keep Austin around for the sake of a secondary ball handler? And all the while, you know, we don't know how long LeBron is going to play. Nobody has any idea how long he is interested in playing for. There is some talk that maybe he wants to stick around long enough to play with Bryce. If Bryce gets to the league, I don't think Bryce is as good as Bronny was entering the draft.
He's a walk-on at Arizona, I think, or Arizona. Yeah. I think it's Arizona.
So I don't know that it's Arizona.
Scholarship, you know. I think LeBron can probably cover the tuition fees. He probably doesn't want to. Yeah.
No wonder he's not taking a pay cut.
Damn it. He's like, have you seen these student fees?
He's like, I can only resell a book for what? Like, but maybe it's the Bryce thing. For one thing, LeBron just made second team all NBA, you know, so he's clearly still really bleeping good at basketball. We did see, I think that was the first year. Last year was the first time that I really saw some real athletic decline, you know, which is shocking for a dude playing at age 40, that's the first time that we're really seeing it. But yeah,
I think we've seen it extremely gradually, judging by his stand. You know, like he's obviously
you go back and look at it,
2016 LeBron, you know, like 2010 LeBron, like he's been gradually declining in athleticism for a while. But it's like his decline is like, you know, I'm trying to think of an analogy, but it's like it's so like he was started out so high above everyone else that it's like his decline is more like back to the pack a little bit of the top athletes versus, you know, just being a one of one. You know, in his own stratosphere.
Well, I guess the way I would phrase it is this was the first time year to year that I felt the noticeable decline.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, if that happens again, where does that put him next season? And so there's all these things going on, Harrison. And you know, again, I'm going to write about this. It's a really tricky needle to thread because every team basically in the NBA would be like, please let us have LeBron, and only Lakers fans, only I specifically probably will be like the annoying one to say, yeah, but it's a little tricky, you know? And I'm curious, just kind of off the top of your head, for one thing, I have two timelines, you know, written at the bottom of the screen. Those are two of the worst words that an NBA fan can hear, right? The notion of two timelines, because you aren't going to succeed on either one of them.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So,
well, the first team to actually sort of do it was the Spurs, but they didn't use the phrase two timelines. And so it becomes associated with the Warriors two timelines, which are like, you know, timeline one won in spite of timeline two, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not necessarily, you know, it wasn't the best justification for the two timelines plan. It's like, you know, the first timeline was still just good enough to get you over the top.
To carry the second timeline,
you know? Across. And it's like, yeah, like Jordan Poole kind of helped a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, where do you stand on that? Like, is this, I guess we'll start with, do you think this is a worthy concern? Something that should stick around in the back of my head?
I mean, I think it's a concern just because of all the new cap rules making it harder and harder to build a team. Like, you just have less flexibility than ever before. So obviously LeBron being around means that LeBron is going to be around and extremely expensive, likely, which does make it harder to fill in some of the gaps around the other team. But LeBron, you know, he's obviously earned that money. I'm not going to sit here and pocket watch him or whatever, say what he does or doesn't need for, you know, the tuition for his son next year and all of that, and to buy an NBA team eventually and all of that stuff. But I understand why people, I think people are right to have like a little bit of concern about it, because it does, you are sort of, to some degree, it's like if you're serving two bosses, you're sort of serving no one, especially if they're telling you to do different things. And it's like, can Rob sort of thread that needle of keeping Luka happy, putting together a team that makes sense for Luka while still utilizing how good LeBron is, but also doing it within the constraints that come with how expensive he and Luka are going to be as sort of your core duo. And are they the most seamless fit in the world? Is there too much of their skill sets that's overlapping and duplicative? But at the same time, it's like, the two timelines thing is not the same to me as the concern about like the Warriors doing it or things like that, because LeBron and Luka are much more promising as like a two timeline, age gap disparity than Steph and James Wiseman,
Yeah.
Luka's a little better, I think.
slightly better than James Wiseman in his dreams, even. Do you think James Wiseman has ever dreamed that he's as good as Luka? Do you think he's capable of that?
I don't know that he cares enough.
I guess that's right. Like I have James Wiseman dreaming about basketball.
It gives me like Andrew Bynum energy where he's dreaming about like building RC cars and stuff. I don't know. Maybe he does really like basketball. I have no idea, but I just didn't get that.
I think Bynum definitely did. I don't think James Wiseman did. So LeBron is on the books if he opts into his player contract, which Shams has indicated he thinks he will. $52.6 million next year. And then, potentially the year after that, you're looking at that potentially coming off of the books. And to me, it's impossible for the...
To me, I don't understand what the benefit of that is for LeBron beyond, like, does he think that the Lakers are going to try and hardball him in negotiations if he opts out or something like that? Because he always does the 1+1 thing so that it's, like, in the case of catastrophic injury, you still have that. Like, he took it last year so that, if he had, God forbid, if he had gotten hurt last year, then he could have still had the $50 million payout for this year as lasting security. I'm not sure I understand why he would be opting in. That's the part that hasn't been cogently explained to me. I believe the reporting. I just don't understand what his motivation is.
It might just be his last year.
But why not secure the extra? Yeah, I guess maybe if you just know it's your last year, I guess who cares about securing the final year and you just leave?
Yeah, the only, and this isn't reporting or anything. This is just me speculating, but the only reason I can think of is that it's going to be his last year. And if he retires on a 1-1, that means he leaves 50 something million dollars on the table. And this gives him the out to where
he doesn't want that calling to him, like the Green Goblin.
Yeah, right.
It's like the last $50 million is like, LeBron, come on, just one more year.
That's right, yeah.
You can have me at the end. think of how many textbooks you could buy for Bryce.
He could even get a dorm. Yeah. Yeah, I that's my only kind of theory that makes any kind of sense off the top of the head.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to leave your options open, just like what if he changes his mind,
Well, but like I think his options will always be pretty open. That's kind of my point, actually, is that like I think the Lakers at some point, it's an impossible conversation to have. And LeBron has done so much for the Lakers and for the sport that it's a really awkward conversation to have. It's like, hey, man, what are you thinking? Like, what's your 2-year plan? What's your 3-year plan? And because we're trying to game this out. We're trying to figure out how long are we going to have an elite power forward on our team? How long are we going to have your contract on the books? How long will we need? Like, if we move Austin now, will you be here for a couple of years so that we can find another secondary ball handler? All of these are questions that, and I kind of wish that he and Clutch and the Lakers were on better standing. Not saying that it's bad, but I don't necessarily think I would go so far as to say it's good either.
I don't know if they're coordinating on that level anymore.
Yeah, right. But they need to be is the thing, right? Like that's the only way any of this works. It's just like the basketball for next season. The only way that works with Luka and LeBron and JJ you know, with their concept or preconceived notions of what this team should operate like, the only way that that works is if there's a ton of communication and strategy discussion. And I think, to me, and I want to be absolutely clear, I'm not pushing LeBron out the door. This isn't the Michael Scott, you know, closing the door on that old guy in that episode of The Office. Like, I'm not, this isn't me doing that to LeBron. This is me just kind of saying, like, what's the plan here? And I know it's a really tough question to ask LeBron also, because you're asking him about his basketball mortality, you know? Yeah. And I think he knows, he's aware of it as a concept, but if you're
they're like basically asking him to do basketball estate planning, which is always an awkward conversation.
It really is. As somebody who has had that conversation a bunch lately, it sucks.
It's like, so LeBron, how long are you planning on sticking around? Because we're just trying. How are you feeling?
Dad, Grandpa lived to be 90 something. How are you feeling? Like, but yeah, it's like, it's this thing. It's this, you can't not address it. You can't not think of it. And I think some Lakers fans go a little too far when it's like, just get him out of here. We're done. This and that. I think that's too far, but I also think we'd be stupid to not think about it. I think it would be doing Luka a disservice. And by the way, Luka takes priority here. Like, that's the other part of all of this, is that when you have, like, it's a lot. It's actually, even while on one hand, Harrison, like you talked about earlier, the notion of the two timelines, when one timeline is LeBron, the other timeline is Luka, that's easier because they're both really good at basketball, where it's like James Wiseman and Steph, those two timelines were always kind of dumb because James Wiseman wasn't very good at basketball.
Yeah.
And by the way, did you see the report today from, I think it was Anthony Slater, about Kuminga? Like, Kerr's like, I want you to be Sean Marion. And Kuminga's like, I want to be Melo.
But I can hear Steve Kerr saying, I want you to be our Sean Marion.
I can hear Jonathan Kuminga closing the door. But yeah, like, this is the part of this is like what makes it tricky, though, even while from a basketball standpoint, the two timelines are easier to execute, from an organizational standpoint, it makes it trickier because the person that you have to have as a much higher priority is Luka, while, like, it's not a Luka Dirk situation, because Dirk wasn't Dirk anymore.
Yeah.
And that wasn't close to Dirk.
The timeline was at the end, you know, they were in Dirk endgame.
Yeah, even Dirk was like, guys, I'll stick around, but I'm not very good.
Yeah, he's like, I'm coming off the bench. I will play once a week.
Yeah, but like LeBron was just, what'd you call him? LeDraymond? Is that what you called him? You know,
I mean, that's basically what he turned himself into.
But that's the thing. Dirk couldn't do that. Yeah, like there are not very many examples of situations that the Lakers find themselves in where they're ushering in this new era with this brand new franchise player while the old franchise player is still really good. I guess the Kareem Magic thing was an example.
That was two good timelines. You know, it was two guys that were still really, like, Kareem was still like borderline MVP level when Magic got there.
Yeah. But I guess it helped that Kareem wasn't so close to the end when Magic got there. Kareem was still in his prime. You know, Kareem.
Tail end of it.
Well, that Kareem, when they won their first championship together, was really, really good. Now, he sprained his ankle, and obviously you have all the lore building that resulted from Kareem spraining his ankle in that NBA final series. But
yeah, Magic was the original LeDraymond in that series.
I mean, in many ways, minus the defense. He wasn't anywhere near as good defensively. But it's such a difficult and this is incredible podcasting on my part, because it's this subject that is really there. There are so many dynamics to it, but when you factor in the Luka aspect of this, the Lakers kind of sort of have to be kind of cutthroat about this, right?
Well, I understand that you would certainly argue that they should be, and I think there's an argument to be made for that. But we also, like, we live in the reality that we live in. We live on this timeline, and on this timeline, they're not going to be cutthroat with LeBron, who basically, you know, bailed them out and resuscitated this ownership group of the franchise from sort of being stuck on the treadmill of mediocrity. And I know that, you know, there's been a lot of mediocrity since then, but I don't think that you can sort of underrate how much they want to end things, I think, with him on good terms, and they want to be viewed as, this is how we treat stars on the way out, so that next star X, you know, Giannis, if you want to move west in a couple years, and, you know, you want to sort of have one last chapter in LA and make Space Jam 3, like, we want to be open for that.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be cutthroat with LeBron, is my point. No, you know, no, maybe they're... They've been more
with AD
in terms of, like, we're just not going to do certain things that you want us to do, but they are not going to say, we are not going to pay you the money that you want us to pay you and try to sort of usher you out on the terms that you want to be ushered out on. They aren't going to get into hardball negotiations with LeBron over a contract.
Yeah, absolutely not. Like, that's never how they've operated. And again, LeBron, when you consider where the Lakers were when LeBron got there versus the way that he is leaving them, you know, he's done enough to exit stage left on whatever terms he sees fit. It's just also really difficult, as Edgar pointed out a second ago. You can't have, like, it was easy for the Lakers to have the Kobe retirement tour while they were intentionally losing games, because he was really good at losing basketball games back then.
Stop.
You know? I think he was.
You're right, but it's unnecessary. Like, okay, it's
fair. But, like, this time though, when you have Luka and your intentions are to win championships, while Luka's in his prime, man, and, you know, if not for the calf injury that as Kirk kind of talked about, really kind of doomed his season. He had that calf injury and still looked brilliant at times for the Lakers. And is coming off of the season that he had previously, where you can make a really good argument he should have won MVP. But yeah, it's insane that, and it's a good insane, because there are so many things going on that almost every other franchise, I would say outside of OKC, would die for. But yeah, I think for the sake of building this team here moving forward, that is something that you need to take into account. From just a team building standpoint, if you were Rob Pelinka, and you own that incredible leather jacket with zippers from both sides,
I bet it's so warm during those Los Angeles, you know, cold winter beach walks.
I just want to know about the zippers.
Yeah,
why does it zip from both directions?
That's just, you know, that's the style right now. I think I take all my style tips from Rob Pelinka.
but anyway, imagine you're Rob Pelinka and you look like Rob Lowe and you're trying to game out the next
that hair. That would be so nice. Oh,
well, it's going to.
It's nicer than mine. And I could sell that leather jacket and go to Turkey and get some hair plugs. You know, it's
just all of a sudden look like John Cena.
Yeah. you guys are going to know that I got a raise above what I should be paid when I show up on this podcast and I'm looking like John Cena. I have like a better hairline than Anthony. It's like to hear, you know.
I've noticed my hairline is going back. I'll put my hat on, and all of a sudden it's like it used to be here and now it's just anyway. but I don't think it was ever there. That's pretty low. It was probably around here. Anyway, how would you game this out though? Like the notion of trading Rui and Dorian Finney-Smith being older, and you know, the physicality that you lose by trading LeBron, or the creativity that you lose by not trading LeBron, but trading Rui, and the creation in initiation that you lose by trading Austin. Those are things that you can kind of plan for in the short term with LeBron. But outside of that, if you're only getting one more year out of it, then now all of a sudden you have to replace it all over again. So what would you do there?
So I think my thing is, like, we all obviously value Rui after sort of the growth that he's made over the last couple of years and the way that he's turned himself into a guy that I think can contribute to winning, which was there were major question marks about that when he came over from Washington about, like, how good is this guy actually? And I think that he's shown an actual commitment to trying to do the things that his team needs him to do to win. Now, again, like, he's not able to guard centers at the level that the last year's Lakers needed him to do, but that's also not a totally fair ask. And I think that in a more reasonable role, he is someone that has shown that he's a good player and like a helpful NBA player. But I also don't think that he's that hard to replace. You know, like the Lakers got Rui for Kendrick Nunn and I think a couple seconds, maybe couple one seconds. Second. Yeah. And so, you know, if you are to use him as salary ballast as your sort of human trade exception in this analogy, and it's a, you know, you go and get center X to bring in to sort of more fill a need for the roster. I think the main thing that you're losing, I know everybody always brings up that you're losing sort of some of the athleticism and physicality and stuff. I think that you hope that you're replacing that to a greater degree with whatever center you're bringing in. Mm-hmm. And that it's just a player that is a better fit as a lob threat for Luka than Rui currently is. And someone that can, you know, sort of maximize Luka in a certain way. And then when LeBron retires, you can get another Rui. You know, like that's not someone that's impossible to find. You know, again, like, yeah. I don't know that you can get an Austin on the contract that he's on, but he's not going to be on that contract for much longer. And so, you know, you trust your scouts and you hope that you find someone who can contribute, maybe not at that level, but on the cheap. But they found Austin off the scrap heap. And so, again, I'm not saying that they can find another Austin and that it's that easy, but I think that you can find another Rui who's sort of a 3-4 role player, you know, if you do end up needing someone of that archetype.
I was
there are
thinking
guys
about
that are reclamation projects around the league every year that, you know, if you have the right coaching staff and you bet on JJ's sort of gamifying player development through app-based deliverables, then, you know, you hope that you can create another Rui.
I was thinking about the physicality aspect, like right as we were getting ready to record. And one of the knocks on Rui is that he doesn't always play as big as he is. And if the reason that you don't want to trade a player is because of the athleticism and physicality, and the guy that you're holding up as the physical athletic dude doesn't always utilize that stuff, I'm good. You know?
Yeah.
I mean.
Like,
really,
he's like
simple.
One of the most athletic guys on the Lakers, but that is an extremely low bar right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's not necessarily a reason in and of itself to keep him.
Yeah. Couldn't the same be said kind of about Austin?
I mean, I think Austin is better than a lot of scrap heap reclamation project guys. I don't think that you could replace Austin's
production. But
I don't think that you could replace his projection or his production as easily, but could you get 70-80% of it? Do you need the full Austin production on a team with Luka? I think is the other question.
Yeah, especially when, you know, that Austin is making $35-40 million bucks a year.
Exactly.
Yeah, the more that I kind of think about it, Harrison, I'm really starting to come around to the idea of a gap year. And it gives you I don't know that I want the Lakers to move their first rounder this year.
Wasn't last year kind of a gap year? Like, what does gap year look like? Like, you're saying, you know, just LeBron and Luka, and you trade other guys for what? Like,
I would trade. I would look at trade.
Will be back better.
Yeah, I would trade. I would consider Dalton a pseudo first rounder. I would consider Rui a pseudo first rounder. I would try to facilitate a trade using my expirings that get me another second rounder here and there. And I would utilize those assets, but I wouldn't touch my first rounder this year, that 2031 or 2032 first. That way I have that ready for whenever LeBron does retire. And then, you know, from there, you can kind of start charting out that post-LeBron era. And, you know, you have at that point, hopefully, a solid offer for whatever second best player that you're lining up for Luka. The other part of this too, Harrison, that I've been thinking about, especially since my conversation with Raj, is every other executive, agent, like, think of any possible source that you could possibly talk to. Every single person I've spoken to is like, we are freaking out about what could possibly happen this offseason. And you look at almost every team and names, you know, depending on the team, 2 through 15 are on the table for who could possibly get moved. And in some cases, team, you know, names 1 through 15 on that roster.
Yeah.
Are sitting there kind of nervous. And it just doesn't make any sense.
You think the Hornets have any untouchables?
Mark Williams?
Like, and then the rest of the league is not going to touch him?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The rest of the league heard about what the Lakers found on that physical, and they're like, all right.
Bye, everyone.